website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We're talking about what I believe to be an imperative issue today: artificial intelligence and the Christian. Now, I'm not asking for you to say if the Christian has intelligence or if it's artificial. It's not the point. But artificial intelligence and the Christian. How should the Christian respond? What should the Christian do? One headline says, one way Christians can prepare for the onslaught of artificial intelligence. And they go into great detail. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about that today because I believe it's the top of the news. I believe it is something that is going to affect every human being on the face of the earth. I believe it is something that's rapidly developing, that we should know something about it, be able to discuss it. With all the national and international discussion about artificial intelligence, ladies and gentlemen, we're discovering some very interesting and what I call frightening details. Some of the questions that come to mind, I'll touch on them briefly. What really is artificial intelligence? Can AI be bad or good? Can AI have a negative impact on the church, on Christians, on conservatives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? We're going to discuss those things today, and we're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion with us on it. And let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Right after a brief monologue, we open our telephone lines, invite your call, conversation, discussion on the issue. I'd love to hear from you today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on, artificial intelligence. It's based on the Word of God. As we discuss the issue today, as in each and every day, we base it on the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. What does God's Word say about it? And by the way, when we talk about artificial intelligence, does God's Word touch on anything about that? Does God's Word have any insight for us in relationship to where we are and where we're going in relationship to this artificial intelligence leap into the future, as we could call it? But the Bible is very, very clear. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, John 8, 31 and 32, says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about artificial intelligence and the Christian, artificial intelligence and the church and the conservatives, the patriots, et cetera, how does it affect us? What will it do? I think that we need to turn back to the Word of God and allow God's Word to direct our footsteps, give us insight. Jesus himself said in John 14, 6, I am truth. Then in John 17, 17, a de facto statement is made, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of the Lord that endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. So I commend the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant truth book to each and every one of you each day. Truth is rejected. There are multitudes today that's rejecting anything that's called biblical truth, theological truth. Most do not want to hear the truth about January the 6th, for example, where it's already been discovered that over 40 federal agents, CIA, FBI, etc., over 40 federal agents were involved in the riots January the 6th, many of them inviting the citizens to come on through the broken windows and the broken doors. ladies and gentlemen, that's being rejected today. The truth is being covered today, and so also in many other categories. Truth is not sought. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're in that category today. We find ourselves in that position today. The sad thing is, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, they say this: each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one truth. Not but one truth. You can develop your own information and thoughts and feeling, but you can't change what is true. You might have some insight as to what you think, but you can't change the facts. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, learn the truth, listen to the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I commend that to you each and every day. I believe that is the best modus operandi that we could have in life and living, is to love the truth, seek the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and yes, be willing to stand and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They also carry the full line of brands for the homeowner like Honda and Echo. They carry the Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful, beautiful benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the flag, U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're in at Tools for Time. The staff is off on Sunday, so the full staff of Tools for Time can worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got Dr. Glenn Davis with me today. Dr. Davis is hails from up in Folkestone, Georgia. I'm delighted that he is available, and for many Fridays he's with us as we talk about some issues, and especially issues that will be looked at through the prism of the Word of God in particular. We're talking today about artificial intelligence. Pastor Davis, thank you for being here.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for being able to be with you again on today. And
amen.
Thank God, amen, that you have now, you know, you're getting stronger and stronger every day. And this is what we are praying.
Amen.
That God will strengthen not only you, but every minister of the gospel.
Yes.
And then prepare us, Dr. Youngblood, what we are speaking about today to the body of Christ. We hope to prepare some that may not be in the knowledge mm-hmm. of what's going on around us.
Right.
Now, each and every day that we wake up, things that used to be on yesterday are not the same today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's happening instantaneously, but slowly but surely.
That's right.
But what some people don't realize, Dr. Youngblood, is that, you know, anything that God has blessed us to be able to have access to as a tool to be beneficial in life, in certain areas of life, you mm-hmm. know, anything that we can use to help make life better, mm-hmm. it can turn out to work at a disadvantage if we use it in the wrong way.
It can be used for good or bad.
So
absolutely.
This is what we're talking about mm-hmm. on today. And I want to say good morning to my bride of 37 years. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen. And all of our good friends. Amen. Everybody I've met. Amen. Dr. Youngblood over the past few weeks are telling me how much they have listened.
Amen.
And they are tuning in now.
That's good.
Amen. To Let's Face the Issue. So thank God for all of you down at Bennett Chevrolet, all of my good friends in Folkestone and Kingsland, that is. And every other place that I've been, I just thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. And we ask you to keep tuning in, keep listening.
Keep tuning in.
We hope that you can find something that will help you along your way.
Tune in, be blessed, and invite others to join in. Pastor, I'm having to hold, restrain my laughter in a month for this next portion. Someone asked about artificial intelligence, and we'll talk about that further in a moment, going into more detail. But Kamala Harris, I've got a headline, giant headline. Kamala Harris mocked for her word salad when trying to explain artificial intelligence. Dated July the 13th. Let me just read you a brief blurb, ladies and gentlemen, from this article. It sets the stage on the, how would you say, the reality of artificial intelligence from the one speaking it. Vice President Kamala Harris has become more notable for her errors and mistakes than any political accomplishments. And that is especially true when it comes to her seemingly inability to communicate. Harris has been rapped several times for engaging in word salad explanations of various topics and subjects. And she did so again this week when she tried addressing the subject of artificial intelligence to a group of labor and civil rights leaders. Quote, this is Kamala Harris explaining artificial intelligence. She says, and I quote, I think the first part of this issue should be articulated is artificial AI is kind of a fancy thing, Harris said, during a roundtable event on Wednesday at the Eisenhower Executive Office building in Washington, D.C. She says, and I quote, first of all, it's two letters. It means artificial intelligence. But ultimately what it really is, it's about machine learning, end quote. Further, she says, and so the machine is taught. And part of the issue here is what information is going into the machine that we will then determine. And we can predict then, if we think about what information is going in, what then will be it will be producing in terms of decisions and opinions. So that may be made through the thought process, end quote. Quote, so to reduce it down to the most simple point, I'm quoting Kamala Harris verbatim. So to reduce it down to the most simple point, this part of the issue that we have here is thinking about what is going into a decision and then whether that decision is actually legitimate and reflective of the needs and the life experience of all people. End quote. The VP, Vice President, wrapped up her explanation by calling for transparency regarding the progression of artificial intelligence and the impact it could have on decision-making in the future. Quote, this writer says she never makes sense in none of her explanations. She's the dumbest VP this country has ever had, one Twitter user wrote in response. Quote, Kamala Harris needs someone to explain AI to her like she was 5 years old before she tries to explain AI to us like we're 5 years old, end quote. Another one says, Kamala Harris talks to Americans like we are kindergartners, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you'll use that as an example of one that needs intelligence, and what is used is presently artificial intelligence to try to talk about artificial intelligence. If you understand my word salad.
Right. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, I mean, listening to, you know, the explanation, the way that she did it for a person that's supposed to be educated,
mm-hmm.
That's held several different positions, mm-hmm. different things like that in government and all, and to be, I think, an attorney.
Yeah.
That's kind of below her, you know what I mean? It's way out of context with who she really should be.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you carefully examine everything she said right there, it's kind of, in a sense, what I'm getting from that is those that are in the position of government where she is right now, you know, even our president is saying, he has said in the past that even the Constitution is not etched in stone.
Right.
So, okay, for that, then, she's kind of confirming that in a way through what she's saying, because they're not going to abide by the rules of the Constitution when it comes down to AI. So they can take that and just violate your privacy, you know, spy on you when they get ready, different things like that. I mean, that's what that's just kind of broadly what I got from that.
In the hands of a rogue government, AI will be deadly nationally.
That's it.
That's all I can say.
That's it.
I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. I pray that you're well.
And everybody in the studio, I pray you all are well.
Amen. Thank you.
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen this movie, The Matrix?
I've not seen it, but I've read about it, yes.
Okay. Where the computers took over?
Yeah.
Where AI took over?
That's a good illustration of AI, yes.
Yeah, I think that's the way we're headed. Because they're going to start thinking for themselves and saying that we are obsolete to them. You know.
Well, you know, there was a movie precursor to The Matrix and others in that category, what we call sci-fi movies. There was one way back a number of years ago. I've forgotten. Perhaps it was in the 80s, The Planet of the Apes. And the scene was turned so that you had the apes riding horses, chasing down human beings, catching them with a big net. And I believe we're headed on the fast track for that to take place with the AI, where it literally becomes, fact and in fiction, if you want to call it that, becomes self-thinking, self-motivating, and make the decision of what can be done. I am looking at it through the prism of the Word of God. And we'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast. How does the Word of God fit into what we see taking place? I believe Christians need to be knowledgeable of what's happening. I believe Christians need to understand it can have some good things or bad things. Kenneth, I think about the artificial intelligence. Let's go back just for take a memory trail background. The television came into in vogue. The radio was in vogue. We had then, back in the late 80s and early 90s, we started getting into the computerization. And then by the early 90s, mid 90s, just about everybody had a computer sitting on their desk. Today, a computer is, how would you say, in the palm of your hand with a cell telephone, where you have millions and millions and millions of aspects and parts of data that never could have been thought of 50 years ago, but we have it today. It can be used for good or bad. It can be used for evil, wicked purposes, and multitudes are. But look at what it's done. Look at the ability that we have because of technology today with text messaging, with emails, with telephone calls, with cellular phone calls. Look at what we have with the ability to transmit pictures and photographs and not just still shots, but movies, videos at the flick of a button from the palm of our handheld device. Now, people could look at that and say, that's bad, 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 because wicked, evil, immoral, vile stuff is out there online. And that is absolutely true. But what I'm wanting us to understand, Kenneth, and I pray that you do, and I think that you would, is the fact that artificial intelligence, I believe, is going to be, in my most humble opinion, the tool that is used by the ultimate Antichrist to control the globe. What are your thoughts?
Because I remember, Dr. Youngblood, back in the 70s, like 74, 75, 76, I used to work for Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And on the 13th floor, they didn't have the elevator, say 13. But anyway, that was all computers, and they had to keep them cool. Mm-hmm. And this is crazy. And hopefully, I hate to say this, hopefully Joe Biden stay alive. Because of Kamala Harris get in there, we're really going to be rich.
This world will be in trouble, not just America, but the whole globe would be in trouble. She's the best that I've ever seen with word salad. She can start making a statement, it meanders on, morphs into nothingness in her conversation, and about halfway through each word or each phrase, she laughs at herself. I don't know whether that's as a time filler or she realizes the stupidity of what she's saying. But, Kenneth, we need to keep looking up the realization that what we're witnessing with AI, artificial intelligence, is another, if you please, piece of the puzzle. I remember my son that's in heaven now, Gene Jr. Gene was a highly trained technologist in the realm of computers and computerization. And I said something on one occasion about a computer and what mine was doing, what it was not doing. And he said, Dad, things in technology will change, morph, and change every 90 days. Every 90 days. He said, I don't care what you have today with a computer. In 90 days' time, literally, theoretically, it is outdated because the rapid pace change in the technological world. And that's what we're finding today. And this is the reason that we have the artificial intelligence that's on the horizon. And we're going to talk about that further as to what it really is and what it really is not and where it's headed. But Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh.
You know, Dr. Youngblood, as you were explaining that, you know, and my mind went back to when the internet first came in. It started out as a real good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on down the line, they started putting viruses in there, you know, to hurt, you know, each other's
Bill Gates
system.
Did that so he could give you the patch for the virus.
Right. You see what I'm saying? And these kind of things like that. What I'm saying, if we use it in the right way, it can be good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be a lot of those that will not do right.
Yes.
And it's a scary thing because they're in positions of power.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean,
in fact, Pastor, when you think about it, every innovation that we've seen come onto the scene, it's always been on the basis this is going to help you, this will benefit you, this will bless you, this will make life easier, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, the world embraces that on that premise, not realizing what we're bringing to ourselves for the future of what is going to be used to, against us. That's the thing that I'm troubled about. We have the cell telephone. We have now online banking. We have so you can press the buttons and order your groceries, and they'll deliver it to your door. We have things today that's conveniences, wonderful. But what does that do in the hands of the Antichrist? Even today, what does it do in the hands of the Biden administration, the CIA, the FBI, the DHS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's tracing and tracking every move, every message, every text, every word, everything that we do and say?
That's right.
Picture that in the future tense in the hands of the Antichrist.
Amen.
I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with a question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
And hello to the pastor, too.
Good morning.
And everybody in the studio. I was sitting in front of my smart TV, and I hadn't noticed this before, but every time I would get up, there's a light at the top of it. It follows me wherever anyone moves. And I wonder, where does that information go? Because something's watching.
No question about that, Terry. In fact, you'll just, if I can use the term Google, of course, I don't use Google. I use what's called DuckDuckGo, because Google's stealing information out of your phone, your computer. DuckDuckGo is a clearer use of researching things, but research the smart TV. They started putting what they call the V chips in the TVs back in the, I'm going to say the late 90s. And every television set that has been made since, that television set can monitor and watch everything that takes place in the home, whether it's on or off. A smart television set is designed for the purpose. Keep in mind, the federal government, when they introduced and started putting in the V-chip in the television sets, it was on the basis that in case of a national emergency, the federal government can turn your TV on and give you the news and the weather and the warnings. So it was on a good basis that they're doing that, but it's monitoring us. A cell telephone, you can turn it off all you want to. And if you've got that cell telephone on you, around you, or in your room, it can monitor where you are every moment of every day within a 36-inch circle around where you stand. So we're being monitored. And everything now with the technology, you have today all kinds of instruments and so forth that's technologically controlled. Just about all home appliances today have some kind of chip in them so that they can be operated by Bluetooth and other mechanisms. So we're watching the major innovation of technology that's supposed to be to help us, but I can tell you, based on my limited knowledge on the subject, I can tell you that it's going to be used in the hands of the Antichrist and the future tense, not just necessarily this rogue government that we have today, but the future governments and the global governments that will be under the hands of the Antichrist. We're on the fast track.
Yeah.
We're setting up the plans. People are becoming inundated with new technology that, for the most part, most people embrace new technology because it's helpful to them. I've got one article, Terry, that I'll just read a brief portion, get your thoughts. Mm-hmm. It says 42% of the CEOs say that AI could destroy humanity in 5 to 10 years. Now, I don't know about you. Yes, that's frightening to me. The article continues, says, the so-called godfather of AI joins the lead to offer a dire warning about the dangers of artificial intelligence. Experts warn AI could pose extinction risk for the humanity. Twitter competitor Elon Musk got onto the internet and he talked about that. The so-called godfather of AI said it's going to lead to a dire warning about the dangers of artificial intelligence. And I could go on and on and on with the article. It's a massive article. Do you think that we should know more about artificial intelligence if we have those that are in those fields warning us?
You know what? I touch and agree with you about the Antichrist or however it's going to be. I believe even a body is going to be made for this person with that, or if it is a computer. But one thing that gives me hope, Jesus told us he would never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen. Amen.
And that gives me hope because that AI is messing with mankind.
Absolutely.
It can't compete with God.
That's right. We, as no cliche, Terry, I could wrap up mm-hmm. with this. We know because we read the end of the story in the Bible. We know we win in the end.
Yes.
And so I'm thankful for that. Terry, thank you so much for your call.
Thank God you.
God bless you today. Keep looking
and
up.
God,
our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you.
But you know, Dr. Youngblood, another thing I thought about, and I don't know, I'm sure you probably heard this, this incident that happened. It might have been about a year or so ago now, where it was either Siri or Alexa. A child was playing with a computer in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either Siri or Alexa told the child to get, it was a gun or a knife or something, and go and kill the parent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are the type of things that we're talking about. You know, that's where it becomes dangerous right there, because you got an innocent child that probably thought that that was a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if that child had followed through with that, then he could have killed that parent.
Absolutely.
Or killed that sister or brother. Absolutely. So listen, this is what we're trying to say. We want you to listen up and be instructed today, because I had to speak, you know, to some people, and my wife and I also this morning were talking about different things about AI and what it was all about and what it controls and, you know, how it functions and different things like that. But there's a lot of people that just don't know.
Just don't know.
They just plainly do not have the knowledge.
It's going right on by, so it's not there. But that's normal. There are a lot of people today that have no idea what's happening theologically, doctrinally, biblically. A lot of people today cannot tell you what's happening in the economy. They just know they don't have enough money. Multitudes of people today cannot tell you what's taking place with the Biden administration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes back to a lot of folks that are not interested in what is happening, but we human beings are recipients of that. I'm looking at a headline that says, our broken culture is getting worse, and AI isn't helping it. This is from Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager says, and I quote, American society is producing children who are selfish, ungrateful, and lazy. Many adult children refuse to speak to their parents, who most of whom are completely undeserving of such cruelty. Now, with the introduction of artificial intelligence, kids are cheating at school, depriving themselves of learning. Dennis examines these worsening problems in our culture and asks if knowing how to write an essay, how to use a camera, how to drive a stick shift car will become a lost art and part as a modern technology moves to make learning obsolete. Ladies and gentlemen, it will make learning totally obsolete. We're finding that today in every profession that's using AI. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Weicker. Republicans want answers. The Democrats say, nope, it's over. GOP lawmakers accusing the Biden administration of pushing aside the recent discovery of cocaine in the White House. New York authorities say a suspect now in custody on Long Island. That's in connection with a string of murders over several years. The deaths of 11 people had long stumped investigators. Authorities in Vermont say at least one person has died in the flooding there, and forecasters say more heavy rain is on the way. Heavy rain and flooding in Mississippi as well. Thankfully, no deaths nor injuries have been reported there. If you love hot weather, you should be heading to California right now, Southern California. Phoenix, well, that's in Arizona, 115 degrees, but Death Valley up to 130 today. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about artificial intelligence and the Christian. I could elongate that, artificial intelligence and the Christian, the conservative, the church, the patriots, the world. How does it affect us? I think we need to go back to some fundamental rudimentary questions, Pastor Davis. In fact, I'm looking at a headline, What Christians Should Know About Artificial Intelligence. I'll cover this introductory portion, then we'll answer a question that I believe is what I would call a prerequisite for a real conversation about artificial intelligence. What Christians Should Know About Artificial Intelligence. It was about 2 years ago that 60 evangelical leaders released a statement addressing artificial intelligence. Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission spent 9 months working on artificial intelligence, an evangelical statement of principle, a document designed to equip the church with the ethical framework and thinking about this emergent technology. There are many heated debates in Washington, many of them important, said the ERLC president, Russell Moore, but no idea keeps me awake at night like those surrounding technology and artificial intelligence. The implications of artificial intelligence will have for our lives and what it will do in our future are vast, end quote. He added, it's critical that the church be proactive in understanding artificial intelligence. It's also critical that the church insist artificial intelligence be used in ways consistent with truth, and that all people possess dignity and worth created as they are in the image of God. And now he gives a definition, and I think, Pastor, this is the first time I've seen this identified in this fashion. It says, what is artificial intelligence? The term artificial intelligence was coined in 1956 by the American computer science scientist John McCarthy, who defines artificial intelligence as getting a computer to do things which, when done by people, are said to involve intelligence. This is no standard definition. There's no standard definition of what constitutes AI. Though, because there is a lack of agreement on what constitutes artificial intelligence and how it relates to machines. And it goes on to talk about, McCarthy says, intelligence is the computerization part of the ability to achieve goals in the world. Varying kinds of degrees of intelligence occur in people, many animals, and some machines. Human intelligence includes such applications and capabilities as logic, reasoning, and conceptualization. And he goes on to talk about this, and I quote, to be considered artificial intelligence, a machine needs to be able to learn. Now, Pastor, I think that's the key. One of the most common types of AI involves machine learning, the science of getting computers to learn and to act like human beings and do what human beings do and improve their learning over time in autonomous fashion by feeding them data and information in the form of observation and real-world interaction, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of understanding artificial intelligence, and it's what goes into the machine. In fact, back in the early days of the computer, the idea was, and the statement that was used often, garbage in and garbage out. If you put garbage in, then you'll get riddled garbage out of the machine. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simplify it for your mind, and my mind's a simple mind. Picture thousands upon thousands of computer banks across the nation and around the world, and they're linked together so that it gives superpower in those computers. And in doing so, that computer is able to be knowledgeable beyond the thought of what man thinks that the computer can do. It is artificial intelligence on steroids today. And multitudes are concerned about what it's going to do to the nation and to our world. I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with the question and comment, please.
Well, I'm hearing you nail down some of the points that I thought I would bring up. Not just garbage in, garbage out, but what about the vacuum of not putting in the information related to God?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a world, an entire world, where the intelligence factor has an absence of God. So that no God, meaning no goodness, no morals, no ethics. You can do whatever you want, so long as, what was it, Prince Machiavelli said, the end justifies the means.
Yes.
Once you do that, you've taken the rationalization, morals, ethics out of the equation, then anything is possible. The world already doesn't have a problem with euthanasia, abortion, even after birth abortion. We call it murder, all right? Now, a machine that can make the decisions with no conscience, and those decisions will be made for you. Let's talk about privacy for just a second. We don't have any privacy anymore. If you have an iPhone, Siri is embedded in every application. You know, people, they'll say, hey, Siri, and they ask a question. I was in a security training meeting the other day, and the leader was giving some information, and he said something, and his phone in his pocket repeated what he said and said, let me see what I can find on that. Mm. I don't know how many other people in the room, but everything that was being said and done was being monitored. Where is that information going? Where is it? If you have Alexa or whatever the computer device that's listening in the house, so that you can play your favorite music or you can turn the thermostat up and down or turn the lights on and off, you do not have any privacy in your own home because something is monitoring you, all right? They used to be worried about smart televisions. You know, they could come on or randomly view or whatever. Yeah, okay, that's a thing. But people have willingly put surveillance devices in their own homes.
That's right.
And when I'm talking about the Siri function on the phone and saying it's embedded in every application, because I went in to turn Siri off, and I thought, oh, I turned it off. And then I realized every individual application had Siri embedded in it. And when the phone updates, sometimes it turns Siri back on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're used, they say, for marketing or whatever. But you are not having a private conversation if there's a cell phone nearby. And these telephones, by Bluetooth and internet and regular cell phone tower, are communicating with every other cell phone nearby. So they it locates that phone. The phone is constantly pinging, saying, here I am. And the tower is like, where are you? And the phone says, here I am. And when it's near another telephone, it's communicating to the tower. It's near these other phones. That's why during the COVID stuff, okay, some places were getting messages like you were near somebody that was infected. How do you know? Because your phone was near their phone. All right, talk about artificial intelligence and all the information being uploaded from private conversations. Wow. Now, that being said, have you ever heard of what's called a deep fake? A deep fake is where a CGI, computer-generated image, all right, and now it's done, the computers are smart enough now, they can generate a false video of Biden and Trump having an argument based on words and phrases, facial recognition, all right? Is it real or is it fake? Well, it was fake. I watched it happen, all right? Will people be able to tell the difference in the near future? Let's say you're accused of some sort of crime, internet crime, whatever, all right, and they've got you on video. Is it really you? How do you prove it's not you? Did I go too deep on that one?
No, no, no. You're exactly right. I was pausing for your information because it's right on target. We've had, in fact, I cannot tell you the politician's name. Believe if I'm not mistaken, it was in Australia, where the one that was his competitor, the one that his adversary in the political race, they used artificial intelligence to build up an entire dossier, launched it online, had yes. pictures of him, photographs and videos of him yes. saying things and showing documents that were just fabricated documents, making it look as though this man had a horrible political, a horrible financial, a horrible criminal record, and absolutely destroyed the man's candidacy in the race that he was running because of what artificial intelligence did. It can literally create you, your voice. It can create, in fact, right now in the upper educational realms with the colleges and universities, students have stopped doing research. They just tell artificial intelligence, Snapchat and others, what they want, and it produces the dossier, it produces the thesis or the dissertation or the research paper that they require it to be done. It is a dangerous, dangerous place that we're at today. But Glenn, let me ask you one question very briefly. Then I'll ask Pastor Davis to interchange with that. What is it about artificial intelligence that should cause the Christian to be not fearful, like shaky, but what is it that should cause a Christian to be concerned, to be interested and determined as to where it's going and what it's going to do so that we can be protected in the future? What should the Christian know?
We need to be aware. If only aware. We have a lot of people that are just completely naive to the subject altogether. You'll bring it up and they just kind of gloss over because in their minds it doesn't affect them. But it does. It's going to eventually affect all of us if we don't have input as to what goes into the machine. We're told to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. That means we need to be informed. We can't put our head in the sand. We can't pretend it doesn't affect us. We need to be involved in this particular discussion to determine how to respond to it, how we're going to interact with it, because it's here. It's here. But like I said before, if the morals and ethics are not programmed into the machine, it's going to be absolutely vicious coming back at us.
Well, Pastor Davis, hold on, Glenn, don't leave us. Pastor Davis, how do you respond? What do you think, from a pastor standpoint, theologian standpoint, academics in the Word of God, What do you think the Christian, if you had one, two, three, what are the major things that the Christian should know, believe, or do?
Well, I believe Christians should still trust God in spite of, because Dr. Youngblood, I mean, as we live in this world, a lot of times, and in many cases, we can't help but be affected by mm-hmm. what's going on here. Or whether you believe in artificial intelligence or not, or whether you believe it's true or whether it works or not, doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that it's not here. So you have to know, even on every street corner that you go on, you're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
There's a camera right there up above the red light.
Right.
Every store you go in, you're still being watched.
Right.
Cameras all over the store. And as the young lady just got finished saying about the TV sets and the different things like that, it's here whether we want it to be here or not. But what we need to do as Christians is prepare ourselves with knowledge to know and understand how to live in spite of what's going on here. Because we have ungodly people, again, in positions of authority that's simply not going to do it right.
That's right.
So if we trust in the word of God and rely on the end results, because we're still going to win regardless of the fact.
Absolutely.
And we have to trust God through it all.
Absolutely. But Pastor, one of the things, if the creators of artificial intelligence, Elon Musk and others, are now warning that it can destroy the human race, I think that's a pretty powerful statement coming out of those inside the echelon, if you will, of artificial intelligence. Glenn, I'm looking at an article that says, human-centered AI, how should the church engage with emerging artificial intelligence technology? Dated March 2023, introduction to the GPT-4, the chatbot developed by the research lab OpenAI, has sparked enormous excitement and great anxiety about the latest advances in artificial intelligence. In response to the question and input from users, ChatGPT-4 can converse and write poetry just like a human being. In minutes, it can spin out a college-level university essay with endless arrays of topics. Some details are wrong, yet it can write correct computer code, supply work products that may soon threaten the livelihood of lawyers, accountants, and journalists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Further in the article, it says, AI technologies are locked in an out-of-control race to develop or deploy and even deploy a more powerful digital mind that no one, even its creators, can understand, predict, or control, end quote. Now, Glenn, I'm going to ask you two questions. Both of them are relevant to what I just read. In Daniel, the 12th chapter and the 4th verse, it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up thy words and seal the books, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Do you see that as being, an explanation for what we see taking place in the world today, and especially when it comes to artificial intelligence? And the second prong of that question, and then Dr. Davis and I will respond, do you see that as being used in the hands of the Antichrist in the very near future?
Absolutely. The answer to the first question is yes. I believe we're there. The prophetic message from Daniel, we're watching it revealed. It's only a matter of the timing for when the man of sin, the Antichrist, steps on the scene. He may already be on the scene, and we may not know who he is yet, but the image of the beast and being commanded to worship the image of the beast and the control and the censorship and the seemingly knowledge of this beast, it's all there. It's all there. In fact, at the time, the two witnesses that are prophesying in Revelation, okay, and it says that when they are killed, that all the world will see it. How? Mm-hmm. Well, several years ago, you could start watching television on your iPhone. Or I don't know if the Androids do that. The whole world will see it instantly because everybody is tuned in. Everybody has the technology in the palm of their hand. We now hold on an iPhone or an Android or whatever the latest, greatest thing is, the technology that years ago was an entire room full of computers. This
right.
is not a phone. This is a handheld computer device. It's an amazing feat of ingenuity. It's amazing. If you were to even take some of this technology back 20 years ago, it would have looked like witchcraft. The things that it can do, it can take pictures, it can monitor conversations, it can record, it's a telephone and a computer and a calculation device, and it has all of your information, your text messages, your emails, and your contacts. Wow.
Absolutely, total. In other
it's
words,
not
we're,
a
totally,
leap. We're, there.
We're totally controlled by it, and you touched on that in Revelation 13. In fact, it's verses 13, 14, and 15, right page, left column in my Bible. And it talks about through the Antichrist, the false prophet, will be able to cause the whole world to bow to the Antichrist because of his signs, miracles, and wonders of even being able to call down fire from heaven. And there will be the image of the beast, that is the false prophet. Now, image of the beast, that is talking about the Antichrist, that will be where it can be visualized on a global basis. Now, that is not possible until right now. It has not been possible for centuries. In fact, for centuries, theologians and smart academics in the Bible tried to figure out, what is this saying? As far back as 1990 or 1992. No, it was back. The book was actually written in 1968 with Dr. John Walford, entitled The Book of Revelation, the Commentary on Revelation. And he said then these images had to be either glass or stone or wood or metal, where there would be something to be carved out, set up in the center section of every city, and everybody would go by and have to bow and worship it. That's all the knowledge they had then. That's before the technology rampage we're seeing today. And I believe, just as you're saying, I believe we're seeing this being in the hand of the Antichrist, that tool that to be used that will cause the whole world to follow after the Antichrist, and as Pastor David said, to be able to look, to see, to watch, to monitor, to track, to trace everything that's done. But here's a question that I need for Pastor Davis and you to respond to. Looking at the headline, it says, Greek Room, G-R-E-E-K, Greek Room, project uses AI to improve speed in Bible translations. It's dated July the 11th, 2023. Artificial intelligence being used by a team of specialists in California to translate the Bible into languages that at present don't have a written version of God's Word. The Greek Room project aims to develop tools to enhance the efficiency of Bible translation, according to Relevant Magazine. Bible translations can take as long as 10 years to just translate into one language. Out of the world's 7,100 languages, only about 700 possess a complete copy of the Bible. While more than 3,500 languages have at least one book of the Bible, over 6,000 languages lack a comprehensive version of the Bible. It goes on to say they told the outlet that he believes that software technology will help improve speeding up the translation process. Now, link to that before my question. The head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab says that he needs to listen. This is a heathen. Klaus Schwab says that he believes that we need to rewrite the Bible with a Bible that is universal, a Bible that will create unity, a Bible that's religion, that's all correct, end quote. So, Glenn, do you see the possibility? I don't know. I don't know if I'd trust a Bible from translated from any language that's all done by artificial intelligence. How do we know that it's real? What is it saying? What is it promulgating and pushing in the minds and the hearts of the one that reads it? Respond to that, and then I want Pastor Davis to respond.
Well, you bring up a very interesting point, a very, very interesting point. A gun has a potential, a firearm has a potential for good and evil, depending on whose hands it's in, a vehicle has a potential for good and evil, depending on the driver that's in control of it. The potential for it actually to do something correct, AI to actually come together and make something like putting together a Bible translation, different language, absolutely possible. Now, here's the problem. How do we know that it's accurate? How do we know that it didn't just randomly come up with words and phrases to complete a sentence? And Klaus Schwab, I mean, I read the same article that you did, apparently, all right? he is talking about having the Bible rewritten in such a form it will be a one-world religion absent a holy God.
That's right.
So the potential for evil is huge. Now, you have to, what is it, Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. In police work, we said, you know, we trust people, but we NCIC, you know, we run a National Crime Information Center to make sure they don't have any wants, warrants, and, you know, they're not lying about their identity. What will be the confirmation process in order to determine if what's written is real? That becomes the question. The Word of God is the standard. It is the standard. Who's going to recheck the math to make sure it's correct? You can't just assume. It has to be checked. It has to agree with the original text. He said not one jot, not one tittle, not one dot, not one stroke will fail from his word. And we have to hold the standard of perfection to the Word of God, because the Word of God is perfection because it's God's word.
Absolutely. Pastor Davis, how do you respond to that thought?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, two things came to mind as both of you were speaking. And for me, the first thought that came to me is compromise.
Compromise.
Anytime someone compromises the Word of God, they take the power and the meaning out of the Word.
That's right.
That's right. Okay. And then when we look at ungodly people being in positions to handle the Word of God, ungodly people cannot set the bar for what the Word of God means, neither can they interpret it without the Spirit of God.
That's right.
We have to understand that John chapter 17 said that the Spirit will bring all things back to our remembrance, what the Lord said in his word.
That's right.
And then if we do like the Bible commanded us to do as Christians, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there is a right way to divide this word, and there is a wrong way. But if it's left in the hands of ungodly individuals, it's going to be wrong each and every time.
That's right.
So if we don't know this word, and this is a stern warning to every believer that's listening on today, if you don't know this word on today, can I say it in a general sense? You really don't know God.
That's right.
So we're warning you on today. Get to know this word, because there's coming a time where there might not be a written copy available for you to go and confront.
That's the key.
Or consult, let me put it that way.
That's the key.
So you're going to have to know this word.
Absolutely.
And if it's left up to the individuals who are ungodly, that's going to dictate this word. And that's why I don't like a lot of these different versions of the Bible today, NIV, all these other things like that. I'm just going to make the long story short. We need to stick with the authenticated King James Version, because I believe that's the closest one, the closest translation we have to the Hebrew Scripture.
Hit the nail on the head. Thank you for that. Glenn, one of the things, and I'll touch this, and our time is out. I'll let you wrap us up today. But in Revelation, the 17th chapter, we talk about a one-world church. Could it be possible that the artificial intelligence, and through Claude Schwab and others, rewriting of the Bible, that it then becomes the Bible of the universal global church? Speak to that. And then very briefly, challenge our listeners as we close the time. We've got about 45 seconds.
No, you're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. I believe that it is the end game. Worse than socialism or communism is an ignorance of God. And I believe that they are doing a great job. When I say they, the devil and his minions are doing a great job in deceiving the masses that they don't need God, that there is no God. So they will push this. I think people will actually accept it as the one world religion, one world government, one world economic system. It's all coming together. But my Bible says to keep looking up, because that day is drawing very, very close when the Christian, when the church is raptured out. Now, for those that are stuck here during the tribulation, it's going to get ugly. Imagine a world with no Christians. It's going to get ugly. So if you haven't accepted Christ yet, the time is now. Today is the day of salvation, right now. Don't wait.
Amen.
Amen.
Glenn, thank you so much for joining us. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Glenn Youngblood is one of our four sons. Thankful that he could join us. Thank you, Dr. Davis, and for our listeners.
Amen.
Looking forward to joining you once again on the air as we face the issues.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to